across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Okay, campers, rise and shine, and don't forget your booties, because it's cold out there today.
It's cold out there today. What's this, Miami Beach?
Not hardly, and you know, you can expect hazardous travel later today with that, you know, that blizzard thing.
That blizzard thing. Oh, well, here's reporting the National Weather Service is calling you for a big blizzard thing.
Yes, they are, but you know, there's another reason why today is especially exciting.
Especially cold.
Especially cold, okay, but the big question on everybody's lips, on their chap lips, rather, do you think Phil is going to come out and see a shadow?
Punxsutawney Phil?
That's right, Woodchuck Chuckers, it's
Groundhog's Day!
Boy, that did not exactly go like it did in rehearsal. Oh, wait, we didn't rehearse that.
We didn't rehearse at all. And I totally didn't realize there was a whole other part to that.
a whole page two.
Well, that's the end of my theater career, everybody.
Well, that's it. The Up North News Radio Performing Arts players have concluded their session for today. Hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's now coming up on 6:08, and yes, it's February 2nd, 2024, Groundhog Day, and another beautiful day to welcome you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, and wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, the app, social media, podcast. Great to have you along today. Greg Bach is down there in Waukesha playing the role of winter because it's the little light snow down there, yeah. So it's got to be snowing somewhere.
Yep.
So. Look at Roger on Facebook.
You know what, Roger?
Don't quit your day job. You know what, Roger?
You know what, Roger? You're right.
Yes, he is. Oh, I hate when he's right. I have been with that song going through my head, the Sonny and Cher one, because I made a TikTok video yesterday about Groundhog Day and about how the Wisconsin legislature, they've been working on a tax cut for the very wealthy, and then Governor Evers would veto it. And then they came back a second time, and he vetoed it. Then a third time, and I thought that has the makings of a video. So I was very, very fortunate that Sherry was home, could be my photographer, so I could put on my proper jammies and get out of bed a few different times. And that was how I spent my yesterday. Was working on a Groundhog Day themed video.
Excuse me, I'm gonna go look up your TikTok account right now.
I hope that you enjoy it. Coming up on the program today, we are going to continue our series of interviews with candidates in the 3rd Congressional District. As you know, we talked to Representative Katrina Shanklin on Wednesday, Rebecca Cook on Thursday. We talked to Eric Wilson today, coming up at 7:05. And so if you want to listen back to the interviews with Representative Shanklin and with Becca Cook, just head over to civicmedia.us. And head to the Up North News Radio show page, where you can look at all of our past episodes broken down hour by hour. You can also do that as a podcast, not just on the Civic Media website, but Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to have you along for, you know, the show and listening back to some of those interviews that we've done in the past. If you'd like to join us this morning and let us know if you see your shadow later on today, our number is 844-967-2789. And again, while you're over at the Civic Media website, you can download the app, which enables you to listen to all the different stations because some have different programs on at different times. You can call in to a show through the app. You can text the show through the app. Email us, radio@upnorthnewswi.com, or put a comment like Roger just did on Facebook, either through the Up North News Facebook page or the Civic Media Facebook page. And we'd love to have you around. Also coming up, we're going to talk about how for more than a decade, voters have been subjected to gerrymandered maps when choosing members of the Wisconsin legislature in the Assembly and the Senate. Now, not only are the current gerrymandered maps going away, but two experts working on new boundaries have already weighed in on the two proposed Republican maps as being about as bad as what's in place right now. So quite the smackdown on conservatives who don't appear to want to go willingly in the job of bringing fairer maps to Wisconsin voters. A theme in our second hour is why newspapers can't have nice things. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel becomes the latest news outlet to, I would say belatedly, shut down its comment section, succumbing to the already obvious notion that when it comes to comment sections, it is impossible for the few to grow flowers in a place where so many are willing to dump their manure. And in Chicago, newspaper workers stage a historic walkout to protest corporate ownership that has slashed and burned a once proud industry. So all of that coming up, as well as a few sports notes. If you maybe heard it from Mike at the top of the hour there, or maybe you didn't, Corbin Burns is no longer a Milwaukee Brewer. And the Badger men's basketball team had a collapse of literally historic proportions that we'll get into as well. It's just one of those days, Greg, where as I was looking at the various coffee mugs, I just said today was a Roy Kent coffee mug kind of day. Because again,
whistle.
I can hold up. Whistle!
Whistle!
I can hold up the Roy Kent coffee mug, but I can't say some of the things that Roy Kent says that dance through my head this early in the morning.
Don't worry. Well, no, I don't have the censor button. Never mind. No, don't do it.
No, please don't. No dump button. Hey, you have it's Friday, so you have a weekend of things to do in that other gig of yours over at the Laughing Tap. What you doing?
Well, first I'm going to drink a drink to our friend Corbin Burnson, who...
Oh, I was going to get... Not Corbin Burnson.
Sorry.
Although he was in a baseball movie, so that would work out well. Yeah. But anyway, yes.
So Laughing Tap this weekend, we have Josh Adam Myers here. He's coming back. He was here last year. Very, very popular, very fun. Kind of a rock and roll element. He did a show where you do stand-up, and then you wouldn't karaoke. You would sing a song with a live band.
Oh, I would love to do that.
Yeah, I think you can watch it on Paramount Plus. But he's going to come, he's going to do a stand-up, and then after, like, he always has music at the end of a show. It's a lot of fun. High energy. Tickets are available for tonight's show and tomorrow's late show, but I believe tomorrow evening early is sold out. But laughingtap.com, you know, Laughing Tap, wearing the t-shirt, wearing the hoodie. Oh, wearing the hoodie.
Representing.
And representing. So, yeah, it's going to be a fun time. And then Maybell Obedience Class. Number two.
Ooh. is it a class in number two, or is it just the second class?
No, right? I wish someone would help her with that. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Temperatures around the area look like this at 6:14. It is 24 degrees up here on Lake Wissota, 25 in Hayward. Park Falls at 20. Wausau, 27. And a few places are reporting some fog, potentially freezing fog. And in Waukesha, there's some light snow falling there. Green Bay's at 31. La Crosse, 31. Wisconsin Rapids, 28. Oshkosh, 31 degrees. Madison, 30. And it's 30 in Waukesha as well. So, yeah, let's get to the couple of notes about sports here. First off, in Nebraska last night, the Cornhuskers erased an 18-point second-half deficit to beat the sixth-ranked Badger men's basketball team in overtime, 80-72. I was watching up until halftime. And, you know, since the year 2000, when Wisconsin has been up by 15 or more points at halftime, that's happened 120 times since 2000. And their record was 120-0 until last night. In the second half, the Badgers had only 11 field goals, but 10 turnovers, maybe getting ahead of themselves and looking toward that game on Sunday in Madison when they host second-ranked Purdue, and instead lost to lowly Nebraska in overtime, not the way that they wanted to carry any sense of momentum into their game coming up this weekend with the Boilermakers. And in baseball news, Corbin Burns is gone and Baltimore bound. The Orioles acquired the all-star right-hander from the Brewers last night. Milwaukee gets left-hander D.L. Hall, infield prospect Joey Ortiz, and a draft pick in exchange for Burns, the 2021 National League Cy Young Award winner. Burns has been pretty public about how this was probably going to be his last year as a Brewer, and then he could walk away, so the Brewers get something for him. But the trade of Burns and the decision to let Brandon Woodruff become a free agent means the Brewers entered the 2024 season without the two cornerstones of their rotation, Mr. Bach, which I know many people are not taking well. I'm again going to try to have the same attitude that I had with the Packer season of just enjoy, because there's still some young talent there. But I'm not going to lie, these hurt. You know, this was an amazing rotation. And yes, you still have Freddy Peralta and some others, but this one stinks.
I don't think Freddy Peralta is as strong as a starter. I don't think they're going to have him starting, of course. He's a relief pitcher, but I mean, I'm not surprised, but I'm still upset. And I think the thing that really upsets me is, I mean, Corbin Burns went to arbitration over $650,000, and the Brewers, like, the Brewers wouldn't say, oh yeah, we'll give you an extra $650,000 because you're worth it. You're one of the best players in the league. And no, we had to go to arbitration over that. And to me, that was the end. I was surprised.
Oh, everybody's looked at that and said, what are you doing? And obviously, you know, Burns made clear that you know, he took that one personally.
Yeah.
And rightly so. So, yeah, you're right. It's not a surprise going back a year now, but still not great, you know,
no.
Especially with, you know, Craig Counsell up and going to the Cubs of all things.
Yeah.
So
I think we have some strong prospects. I think we have some strong prospects, and I want to see what Hook is going to do with his team, because now he's got kind of a team. Because when he came in as pitching coach, he had all these guys that were there, and now it's sort of maybe a new, fresher lineup he can mold from scratch. So we'll see.
Here's hoping. I'm willing to be, you know, surprised, and again, still just enjoy. Again, any day with a good baseball game on in the background is a fine day by me. The Milwaukee Bucks are in Dallas tomorrow. You can catch that game across the Civic Media Radio Network on Oshkosh Air Support, News from the Center in Richland Center, Lake Air in Amory, WRGN in Racine, 98Q Country in Park Falls, and I believe locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids as well. And again, just to remind you, some Civic Media stations will have the Badger men's basketball game against number 2 Purdue coming up on Sunday. We'll talk about the new proposals to replace the gerrymandered maps for Wisconsin voters choosing their legislators in just a bit. All across Wisconsin on this Friday morning Groundhog Day, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. Graham Nash of the Hollies figures into today's history lesson coming up in about a half hour here on this Friday morning on Up North News Radio. All right, let's reset where we are in terms of where voters in Wisconsin quite literally stand in terms of who represents them in the Wisconsin legislature. That's because yesterday was the day when consultants hired by the Wisconsin Supreme Court released their opinion on various new map proposals that were submitted to the court to redraw the legislative districts. And of those, they had fine things to say about 4 of them, 2 of them, not so much. So again, let's reset this for you. The voters have been subjected to maps that were essentially rigged back in 2011. They were drawn in a way that would give Republicans a wildly disproportionate share of legislative seats, disproportionate to their actual support statewide. Wisconsin's basically a 50-50 state. The Republicans were in the majority. Nobody would have objected if Republicans had drawn maps in 2011 and then 10 years later. That gave them, you know, 52, 55, 56 maybe percent of the seats. But the way they're drawn right now, Republicans have 2/3 of the seats in the Wisconsin State Senate and nearly 2/3 of the seats in the Assembly. And that's solely because of how the lines are drawn to maximize Republican votes. When you look at the statewide vote, they don't enjoy that level of support at all. That's a gerrymander. And for years, a conservative-led state Supreme Court said, you know, we see nothing wrong with this. After the election of Judge Janet Protasiewicz last year, the court had a new composition, looked at those maps, and said, what are we talking about here? Not only, you know, are they out of whack, but they are they don't even abide by the Wisconsin Constitution in terms of being contiguous. You know, you've got these little islands of land outside the main district, which is something that is not allowed in the Wisconsin Constitution by any plain reading of it. These older maps should not have ever existed, but they did, and they are finally changing after 12 years. So the state Supreme Court ruled that the current maps are unconstitutional and asked all of the parties in the case, not the two parties, Democratic, Republican, but there were something like six different parties, entities in the court case, and said to them, all right, all of you can submit how you would change the maps. We are going to hire a couple of experts to look at those proposals, and then we'll decide whether to adopt one of these proposals or tweak one of them. So Governor Evers put in a proposal, Democratic state senators put in a proposal, a couple of outside groups that were part of the lawsuit did, Republican legislators did, and the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, a right-wing legal group. So the consultants yesterday commented on the proposals and said that the plans submitted by Republican legislators and the conservative law firm are still rigged to the point where they qualify as being gerrymandered. They did not explicitly say the other four maps are constitutional. They simply said that, you know, you could improve upon any of those four maps and make it even more balanced. And it's up to you justices on the court to tell us, do you want us to tweak these or do you want to do the work yourself? And that's where we are at this point. Governor Evers hailed the report yesterday as confirmation of, you know, basically what we've known all along. He said, quote, the days of Wisconsinites living under some of the most gerrymandered maps in the country are numbered. While this is just one step in this process, today is an important day for the people of Wisconsin who deserve maps that are fair, responsive, and reflect the will of the people. Because under these maps, you know, Republicans have largely blocked any major policy initiatives of Evers and Democratic lawmakers for the past 5 years. And really, it's not even just being in the majority, but their behavior in there. You know, when the legislature was more balanced and when there were fewer extreme members in there, members of the minority party at any given point were still able to pass bills. They were still able to get committee hearings on bills, even if they weren't going to pass. But over the past few years that Republicans have controlled the chamber, not only are they not taking up any bills with a Democratic lead author, but nearly none of them are even getting a public hearing in committee, which is literally the least that you could do as a majority member to have some kind of veneer of fairness. And by the way, also confidence in your own ideas. If you think your ideas and your positions and your policies are best, you have nothing to fear by kicking around other people's ideas and defending yours and maybe even improving upon yours by saying, you know, I don't like 90% of what's in your bill, but I do like that part and I think that we should incorporate it. And that might have happened here and there in the legislature, but not very much at all. The consultants on Thursday said that the maps from legislative Republicans and the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty are partisan gerrymanders. The legislative Republicans map was virtually unchanged from what the current boundaries are. Again, just essentially thumbing their nose at the rule of law and saying, we're not even going to attempt to comply with this ruling. And all they've done really instead is play politics with it and say that, you know, basically a lot of projection. Everything that has been said about Republicans for the past 12 years, well, they just kind of turned it around and said, well, I know you are, but what am I? The consultants rejected Republican claims that the majorities are due to Democratic support being concentrated in cities, while the GOP has broader support in a larger geographic area. The consultants said, that kind of insulation from the forces of electoral change is the hallmark of a gerrymander. To put it simply, geography is not destiny. And that's a great way of summing up how to respond to the many, 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 many times we have people on the Republican side of the aisle point to a map of the country or point to a map of the state, and you see all this red territory. Then they say, you see, we have so much support all throughout, you know, the Mountain West and all throughout rural Wisconsin. And land doesn't vote. Instead, there has been, for more than a decade now, this constant belittling of Wisconsin voters and American voters who live in cities, that cities are somehow less worthy of equal representation. Now, you would be right to fear, if you were, in this case, a Republican, that you know you could give outsized representation to city voters and city-based legislators. It's, of course, possible to gerrymander in the other direction, but that's not what we have right now. Right now, we have a party that will look at these cities, and instead of fighting for those votes and instead of fighting for those voters with positions and priorities, they instead look for ways to punish cities, make it harder to vote, make it harder to fund universities, make it harder to fund infrastructure. Again, when you can't win on your ideas, you cheat. And this was one way that that was happening for over a decade. And it's finally in a process that is bringing it to a close. We'll have more of a national lens with Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kia Vakil coming up next, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. Time to talk to our friend Kia Vakil, senior national correspondent for Courier Newsroom out in Los Angeles, joining us as he does every Friday morning. Kia, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Boy, sometimes we talk about things that are happening in the dusty, hallowed halls of Congress or other Capitol buildings. You know, just the archaic language and the traditions. And this time we're going to talk Taylor Swift. Because that seems to be the thing here leading, you know, for these 2 weeks into the Super Bowl. And really not so much about Tay-Tay and Travis themselves, but just this whole notion of how many folks love a good conspiracy or I don't even know if love or just believe them or what have you. It's just been a week that really reminds us sometimes you just don't know what's going to drive the news.
No, it is baffling the level to which the conspiracy theories surrounding Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce have taken over the right in the span of a week. We have media figures talking about how she's a government psyop or an agent of the Pentagon to help elect Democrats, how the playoffs have been rigged to help get them to the Super Bowl where she'll endorse Joe Biden or to help because Travis Kelce was in a Pfizer commercial. This is all about getting people vaccinated and the relationship is fake. It is one of the most insane collections of conspiracy theories that I've ever seen. And that's saying a lot because these are the same people who spread QAnon and Pizzagate and the 2020 big lie. It's just a complete unreality of unrealities.
It is. And if nothing else, we occasionally need these reminders that we do, many of us still have Republican friends, conservative friends, and, you know, they're not all as vocal as, say, Liz Cheney, but I couldn't even have told you who the governor of Utah is until this week. But his name is Spencer Cox, the Republican governor of Utah, who said the 2024 election is going to be bad enough, quote, without us making up stupid stuff to fight about. Just let Travis and Taylor do their thing. Cheer for your team. Cheer for football. Listen to your music. Let's just take a deep breath and chill. And that, I got to say, is refreshing.
It is. It will also not be heated at all, because take a deep breath and chill is not something that the party of Trump does or is capable of. You know, Trump himself is going to be out tens of millions of dollars because he literally could not stop himself from defaming somebody and attacking someone.
Right.
And so his party, his advisors, conservative media pundits, a lot of Republican office holders now are all just, that is, they are incapable of that.
And so they will continue to, you know, make up things or spread conspiracies about people. And for them, I've noticed so much of what they do is it's about people. It's about attacking people. And it's almost a break for them that they're not attacking Joe Biden, but they're always attacking somebody. And I think actually in place of the president, you instead have Alejandro Mayorkas, the Homeland Security Secretary, who they're impeaching again for reasons that are almost conspiratorial.
Yeah, I mean, we know that Republicans are going to use the border and immigration as a cudgel and as a political weapon. They have done it every time, you know, an election has neared in the last, what, decade?
Here comes a convoy. Yep.
Yeah, here comes the caravan. Here comes a convoy. And look, there is, there are real issues at the border. Obviously, you know, I don't mean to minimize them, but they are issues that can only be solved by legislation. And I apologize for the background noise. There's construction in my building that just began, but they can only be solved by compromise and legislation. They, you know, this is a purely political ploy to impeach Secretary Mayorkas, because the border, you know, what's happening at the border has many varying causes, including American foreign policy in Latin America for the last several decades. So Secretary Mayorkas is not single-handedly responsible for what's happening there. We see there's decades of, you know, causes for this. And so, again, this is a political ploy. Trump has basically said he wants to prevent any sort of deal this year because he wants to use it as a weapon in the election. And I don't think it's a surprise that this is happening as the economy continues to improve and as people, consumers, start to feel better and better about it. It's with the economy sort of no longer, you know, clearly the far and away issue for people, Republicans need to give them another one, and that's the border.
It is. And we've seen this, you know, before over and over. Going to impeach a cabinet secretary is a bit of a twist on it. But again, there is a bipartisan group working on a way that would increase border security right now. And some people on the Republican side don't actually want to do it because it's an election year, which takes us to the other example we've talked about this week, and that is a bipartisan tax plan. And this one, too, is in jeopardy, although, to be fair, it's as much in jeopardy from people on the left as from the right, it seems, based around whether the child tax credit is, what, too low or too high?
Yeah, so the House passed a tax deal on Wednesday, I believe, that would expand the federal child tax credit, not quite to what it was, you know, when Biden passed it in 2021 as in the rescue plan, but expand it from what it is now in exchange for some, you know, business tax cuts. So obviously, Democrats support the child tax credit and want to make it more generous. Republicans support business tax cuts. I think where the issue is there's going to be a lot of hardline conservatives who oppose a child tax cut, and there's going to be a lot of progressives who oppose business tax cuts. And, you know, in my mind, one of those is a little more justified than the other, but we don't know how the Senate will take up this legislation or if they will pass it or not.
No. And I mean, it got, you know, no votes from folks like, you know, Gwen Moore here in Wisconsin as well, saying that it's, again, just not generous enough. Meanwhile, you've got Tom Tiffany saying that, you know, it's a massive expansion of the welfare state and other such nonsense. So is it therefore not liked enough by both sides that it could go forward? I don't know. I guess stay tuned is all we can really say about that too. Two different efforts at bipartisanship that just may not take place here. Let's look about something that did happen in a very concrete measure this week, and that is the negotiation of drug prices with big pharmaceutical companies by Medicare. And that was because something did get passed in Congress, albeit back when Democrats controlled the Congress, and this was part of the Inflation Reduction Act, right?
Exactly. So as part of that law, Democrats passed a Medicare drug negotiation provision, which effectively allows Medicare to negotiate down the cost of 10 expensive drugs that are really commonly used. We're talking things like Eliquis, which is a blood thinner. We're talking things like Jardiance and Xarelto. So these are drugs that Medicare is now negotiating with the drug makers on the cost of that Medicare will pay for, because, you know, these drugs cost seniors a lot of money in some cases. And so by reducing prices of these drugs, it'll save people money. And so this will go into effect, I believe it's in 2026. Yes, 2026. And then every year, 10 more, and then eventually 15 more. And so eventually there's going to be hundreds of drugs that are covered by this that will be life-changing for people. And this week marked the Biden administration sending offers. So, you know, there are lawsuits over this because, you know, surprise, surprise, pharmaceutical companies don't like having to give a crap about people and how much they pay for things. So, but, you know, it's moving forward right now.
And it is, again, it's proven to save money, not just for consumers, but for the taxpayers eventually. The same can be said for Medicaid expansion, something that still hasn't happened in Wisconsin, one of only 10. The rest are very, very red states. But maybe, when did we talk about it? Last week, North Carolina, it was Republican legislators who finally moved on expanding Medicaid there. Could this be happening in another state?
So potentially, but not because of Republican legislators. So in Florida, which is a Republican-dominated state, a group called Florida Decides Healthcare announced on Thursday that they're working to place Medicaid expansion on the ballot in Florida for 2026. So Republicans, like in Wisconsin, have refused to expand Medicaid in Florida. And even though there's about 1 million people there who would benefit from it and get covered, and it would be almost entirely covered by the federal government. So this is not, you know, a state level cost problem. It's a, we don't want to help people who might need help problem. And so this coalition is working to get enough signatures to place this on the ballot for 2026 to expand Medicaid. And, you know, we'll see if that happens. I'm sure, like they're trying to do with the abortion ballot, Florida Republicans will try everything to stop it. So, you know, today it's just the beginning of this, but, you know, within a few years, there is a chance that Florida could get expanded Medicaid.
And then one other state where Courier Newsroom has properties, that would be Arizona, where you'd find the Copper Courier, following something where, again, you've got conservatives in state government pushing for something that would never fly in a more mainstream era. But the Arizona superintendent is pushing for content from something called PragerU in Arizona classrooms. What's that about?
Yeah, so Arizona Superintendent Tom Horn is a far-right conservative. He announced a partnership this week with PragerU, which is basically a similarly far-right web outlet that creates online content to advance, quote, Judeo-Christian values. You know, that sounds totally innocuous, but their videos, you know, one of them includes Frederick Douglass. It's an animated video. He's the famous abolitionist, of course, where he tells children that slavery was a, quote, compromise, and that the founding fathers opposed slavery, even though many of them did have slaves, and then spreads the notion that the U.S. Civil War was fought over states' rights, you know, in a statement that I'm sure Nikki Haley would agree with. But, you know, this PragerU, this has happened in other states like Florida. These videos are not remotely accurate or educational. They are meant to subtly, and some cases not so subtly, you know, teach kids a right-wing ideology from a very young age.
They're propaganda. They're basically
propaganda.
And that's what an Arizona congressman said. PragerU does not belong in Arizona schools. It's masquerading as serious educational resources when in reality, it's unaccredited right-wing propaganda. And again, we don't have something quite like that at the Wisconsin level yet, but it's definitely worth following in some of these states where, again, if you're not paying attention, you never know what government could slip into what's educating your children.
Yeah, and it's scary. You know, it's not just Arizona, it's Florida. They have partnerships in Oklahoma, Montana, parts of Texas. You know, for all the talk from, you know, groups like Moms for Liberty about liberal indoctrination, there is no liberal equivalent to this. This is a right-wing group that has existed for years that, you know, understands that propaganda can work. And so they continue to double and triple down on it.
Yeah, I mean, it is just always projection with this bunch, and we're very thankful that folks like Kia Vakil follow that for us, along with all the other good people at Courier Newsroom. And go to couriernewsroom.com to learn more about Kia's newsletter and then, of course, his visits with us on Friday mornings. Kia, thanks very much. Have a great weekend.
You too, Pat. Thank you.
Also, a comment came in on Facebook during the segment asking, Mary asks, does anyone or can anyone explain why nursing homes limit the Medicaid beds that they have? Now, I'm going to take a stab at this, but I want to caution you that there can be others who might correct me or, you know, expound on what I'm going to say. But the main reason is that Medicaid, for all of its many benefits, has a reimbursement rate that is just frankly too low. While there are instances of corporate medicine that charge ungodly amounts, quite the opposite is the case for Medicaid. And so entities have to put limits on how much they accept from Medicaid. And the best thing to do there would be to have elected officials who would set a Medicaid reimbursement rate more in line with, you know, what it costs for all of our many medical and healthcare providers to take care of them. And that, again, means you'd have to have people elected who want to preserve and protect Medicaid and affordable healthcare for people in Wisconsin and around the country. We will pause and have this day in history, a little history lesson, some musical memories, and tell you what's in today's daily newsletter from Up North News. Subscribe over at upnorthnewswi.com. Coming up right after this, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'll light the fire. You place the flowers in the vase that you bought today.
Happy birthday to Graham Nash, who turns 82 today. Before there was a Crosby, Stills, Nash, or a Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, he had founded the Hollies in 1962. We heard them a little bit earlier. He left that group in 1968. Christie Brinkley is 70 years old today. Former Packer Donald Driver is 49 years old today. It's also the birthday of somebody who you've heard something about her, but you don't really know her. But she is the baby that you hear crying at the start of Isn't She Lovely, this little Stevie Wonder tune. Just coming up. There we go. That's from the album version of Isn't She Lovely by Stevie Wonder, singing about his firstborn child, his daughter Aisha, who was born on this day in 1975. On this day in 1973, NBC premiered The Midnight Special. It aired on Friday nights till 1981. Greg, age-wise, again, the old man always has to ask everybody else, is this in your wheelhouse or was it not a thing anymore? Because it was like the thing in the age right before music videos came out.
No, I mean, I caught repeats, and now especially mm-hmm. in the age of YouTube, you can see a lot of clips from the Midnight Special.
Yes.
But mm-hmm. I think I was 3.
it was, you know, because back then it was only...
But it was canceled.
Yeah, there was Johnny Carson, and then for a time there was, you know, Tom Snyder had the Tomorrow Show, which was rather cerebral. And then I want to say it was Fred Silverman, but one of these NBC execs got the idea to put on, you know, live music, put on some bands at midnight. And so it was one mighty popular show through the 70s. But then, much like video killed the radio star, MTV also killed the midnight special, because everybody was into videos at that point. They didn't want to see people just standing there and singing.
I'd love to see a new midnight special. It'd be cool.
What's that?
Bring it back. There's no music on MTV.
Yeah, I would completely go for that. Would love to see that. Happy birthday to Shakira. She is 47 today.
Shakira. Oh, baby, when you talk like that, you make a woman go mad. So be wise.
Shakira has been a public fixture since the age of 13, when she signed a record deal with Sony Music, where they saw some talent there, and she is. Where did I just see? There is a larger than life size statue of her someplace. I don't know if it's a hometown or home country, but she is a legend well beyond the borders of the U.S.
I think she's Colombian.
Okay.
And
on this,
go on.
I was gonna say, on this day in 1954, the Detroit Red Wings played the first outdoor hockey game by an NHL team. It was an exhibition match in Marquette, Michigan, against the inmates of the Marquette Branch Prison. They called themselves the Marquette Branch Prison Pirates, and challenged and took on the Detroit Red Wings. I don't have the score available here. I don't know how it turned out, but first time that you'd see an NHL team play an outdoor game. And I will admit, I still get a charge out of the annual Winter Classic. I forget how many years it's been around now, but I rather like when the NHL does their, you know, one game a year out in a, you know, a baseball or a football stadium. Especially that very first year where it was like nature rewarded it with snow falling during the game, of these huge fat snowflakes that were coming down. I mean, it was real snow globe stuff, and really enjoyed watching that.
I got a score for you.
Oh, go ahead.
Marquette Prison Pirates 0, Detroit Red Wings 18.
18-0. Okay, well, it's an exhibition game.
That's a bagel.
By an NHL team.
That's a bagel.
Against inmates. So there's your sports. There's your final on the scoreboard today. And finally, the number one song this day in 1985 was by Foreigner. Now, I can only attribute this to song facts, as Greg continues to provide interpretive dance moves for us. According to song facts, this is the first song with a gospel choir to top the chart.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, certainly not the first one to chart, but I guess of all of the number one, all the songs that hit number one, first one with a gospel choir in the background. And again, I'd love to know the story of that one. I don't know who the producer was or whoever, and said, I know what this needs, you know, in the background. So good on them. This is National Bubblegum Day. This is National Tater Tots Day.
Oh, yeah.
Tater Tots.
I just watched Napoleon Dynamite last night.
Did you?
Yeah.
Napoleon Dynamite was such a classic example of our daughters were teenagers at the time, or maybe preteen. And it's such a classic example of mom and dad see what their kids are watching and go, ugh, what is this? This is garbage. It's ick. Just dumb. And then the second time you see it and beyond, you're hooked.
That's
exactly
what I told Bridget. I told her the first time I saw that movie, I'm like, this is stupid. And then my friend talked to me about it, and he's like, he gave me the background, and it's an independent film and all this stuff. I'm like, all right, I'll watch it again. And after we watched it the second time, I go, you guys want to watch it again?
Yeah. We watched it so many more times after that. Yes.
Oh,
once you're in, but you had to get past that first little bit of it. It's kind of like, you know, beautiful. For the Schitt's Creek, which is the name of a TV series.
Come at
Sherry
us.
And I had to, we had to restart that like 4 different times over the course of a year, because we were just, the first episode, we were like, I hate these people.
Yeah.
I hate that. People said, no, it gets better. They get funnier. And we didn't believe them the second time and the third time. Then like the fourth time, we were like, oh, I see it now. Okay.
And then
we were hooked.
My mom had the same problem with Ted Lasso. She's like, I don't like the owner. She's so mean. I'm like, just keep going. You got to go through it. You got to press through. And then fourth episode, she goes, all right, I like this show now.
Yes, that's exactly it. Some things you have to listen to your friends when they recommend something like this. Yep. Give it a chance. This is, of course, February now, so this is a Wear Red Day for Women's Hearts, Women's Heart Health Month. This is National Ukulele Day, National Crepe Day, Catcher's Day, River Day, Sled Dog Day. There's just some days where you go, there's just too many of these days, but you're going to hear about these from somebody. It's National World, it's World Wetlands Day, and somebody decided this is National Working Naked Day, which is exactly why those of you watching on Facebook see that we're not wearing a stitch of clothing right now.
Yep.
And we've now horrified anybody who doesn't know that we're simply making that up.
My doctor has questions.
When we come back, Eric Wilson is going to be here wrapping up our candidate interviews with people running in the Democratic primary for the 3rd Congressional District later this year. That's coming up in our second hour and much more.